I can do this all day.
Yeah, I know.
Something tells me we're not getting the band back together.
What do you mean, no?
Way to go, Tic Tac!
He's confused. He doesn't know who he is.
Wakanda forever!
You're all not worthy.
Dance off, bro!
This moron is giving me everything.
I will be reinstituting Prima Nocta.
Yeah, there we go. What do you guys think of that?
Woo. Right on.
Yeah.
I like that.
This is the first time that CJ and Gray are hearing the intro. Of the Capes and Arrows. Capes and Arrows.
Capes. Oh, man.
Capes and Arrows.
Off to a good start.
I know, we're off for a great start, right? Capes and Hammers podcast, the debut episode. Episode one. So expect a lot of mess ups and mistakes, which is okay. That's what we do here. My name is Jim McCarthy, and I kind of drive the bus on this thing as I'm the one with the podcasting and radio experience. To my left is CJ Whelan.
Yeah.
Who is both of our guys are working here with us at Big Dot Electrical, doing the servicing and everything around the Spring Hill area. And the gentleman in the bright green yellowish shirt is Gray. I don't even know your last name.
I don't have a last name.
Let's just leave it at that, I guess, right?
It's just Gray.
CJ, Gray, and Jim. So there we go. There's the intro. What'd you guys think? Sounds professional.
I dig it.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Could you guys recognize some of the people on the front end of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
You could probably quote.
You could probably quote
every single one of them.
Yeah.
Capes and Arrows isn't a bad name, by the way.
It's a great name.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the reason why we started this is because we would always meet in the mornings and have these amazing conversations about Marvel movies, the MCU, DC. Well, mostly Marvel, you know, DC,
Marvel.
But we got to play at least, you know, throw some, honor and light towards DC. So we'll talk about that. I mean, the latest movie they did with the Justice League is commendable, and they did a good job with it, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Especially the Snyder Cut version.
Yeah. So my background is basically I kind of got into the whole comic book movie thing. I've always been a part of it and enjoyed them from a distance up until 2018. I saw the Avengers Infinity War, and I was hooked. I had to go back and start unfolding and investigating.
That's where you started?
That's when I really dove in.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the first Marvel movie you saw?
First Marvel movie I saw?
First MCU movie you saw, not knowing what you were getting into?
Probably Iron Man. Friend of mine.
Okay.
He says, you got to come see this movie. I said, that movie about the robot? I knew nothing. I didn't grow up with comic books or anything. CJ, I think you've been into it a lot longer than I have. Gray is like the encyclopedia. He knows the comic book stories going back decades, correct?
Yeah.
That's your role in the show.
That's my contribution.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these things will kind of unfold as the podcast plays out over time. Hopefully we'll get some other guests on via Zoom or maybe in here. You never know. Year or two down the road, couple of hundred episodes down, we could be getting, you know, Steve Rogers in here.
Why not?
Tony Stark. And you just never know with these things.
Chris Hemsworth.
We could get Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, any of them.
And you guys are kind of sitting in the Thor corner. We've got Stormbreaker and Mjolnir up against the table. So, there's the introduction. One of the things we thought we'd talk about today as a debut episode, I've been thinking, who's the most annoying Marvel character? Who wants to go first?
Do you mean who is supposed to be the most annoying? Who's written to be annoying?
Who do you find them to be the most annoying Marvel character?
But they're not intended to be annoying.
Well, they could be. I mean, there are Marvel characters intended to be annoying, but they're actually quite enjoyable. Drax, for one. He's kind of an annoying character.
You find him
annoying? I think he's probably annoying to his co-characters, but I find him to be very enjoyable.
Annoying to us? Or
annoying to you.
People in the movie.
What do you find, like, when they come on screen, it makes you go, let's fast forward.
Captain Marvel.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't
absolutely.
Is it because of the character or the actress?
It's the character.
Yeah.
It's the writing. I like the actress.
Brie Larson.
Have you thought much about it, CJ?
No. Most annoying.
Most annoying.
Absolutely, Captain Marvel.
CJ
main character or
anybody,
villain?
Anybody. These are kind of questions.
Give me a second. Let's touch on
Captain Marvel. Is
Captain
given
Marvel
too
first.
Much power without deserving it.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's only it's a lot of power from one stone. The space stone. Right?
Yeah. The space stone.
She absorbed all of it into her body.
She didn't earn it. There was no tragedy. She just...
Well, her character was good, though, in terms of, you know, who she was as a person.
I'd put her movie at the bottom.
Well, I could see that. It's an enjoyable movie, though.
I think it's the most passable.
That's what you wouldn't have you seen Black Widow?
Yeah. I'd watch Black Widow again before I watch Captain Marvel.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a hole filler, right? It's got to fill in the holes of the time of where things were kind of left off at that particular point.
Yeah.
You get the backstory on Fury and Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. Black Widow. I enjoyed Black Widow, but it was kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
I was anticipating a lot of.
We talked about that.
Lot of like twists to the canon of the whole Marvel cinematic universe. Yeah. A lot of real eye-opening moments, especially with her and Captain America.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he married Peggy.
Ooh. Yeah, you've touched on that, but you have to explain that.
I think that if you look at the end of Endgame, and I know we're jumping all over the place with topics here, but it's a free-flowing conversation. This is how we converse with each other in the morning. I believe at the end of Endgame, him going back in time, he wouldn't do that. You know, yeah, he would have the last dance, but he knows that Peggy's got things to do and kids to have and all that stuff. He's not going to throw that off course.
And he wasn't the one that was supposed to be the one having the family with her?
I don't know. You never see her husband in pictures, though.
Right.
Right?
But that's not the same Peggy who he goes back to.
The other thing that I was going to, the impetus of my comment on that, if you look at the scene as it's, they go from the lake scene with Sam Wilson and Cap as an old man, and they transition to that final scene that's a, I think it's a one-shot scene as they're going from the road into the house, and they go in through the window in the shot. Next to the window is a door that's left open.
So literally the writers left the door open.
That Marvel doesn't do that kind of thing. They don't overlook stuff like that.
Right.
There's a lot of detail in those things.
All intentional.
So if you're listening to this, go back and watch the end of Endgame and you'll see what I'm talking about. And what do you guys think?
I'm curious about what you just said about that. That wasn't the same Peggy.
Right, because he goes back. That Peggy grew up without him going back.
We know about the multiverse, yeah.
Let's establish the time travel rules that were established.
Right.
So when you go back in time,
yeah,
everything's identical leading up to that moment. But when you do something, you create an alternate divergent path, right?
Right. Get on that mic.
So when he goes back, you can't go back and then live on in the same future that you came from.
Yeah, because it's
your presence past. Changes the very present that you came from.
That's called a paradox.
Right.
Yes. So it's different people living that life, or it's the same person living a different life?
It's slightly different. If you go back, you innately change the present that you came from.
Innately.
I've used that word about three times now.
The thing about Gray is that he is very well spoken. Do you find yourself learning new vocabulary words?
Around Gray. Do you? Yeah. work together. And if I let him take lead and talk to the customer, say new and intriguing things, and it's...
So the reason why if you're watching the video version, CJ and Gray are literally just got off of like dirty, grimy electrical jobs and doing services and stuff like that for Big Dot Lighting and Electrical. Go check us out, bigdotinc.com. That's our sponsor.
Woo!
Yeah, unbeknownst to you guys, on the Capes and Hammers podcast. So expand upon that. Peggy, you think it was a different Peggy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because going back, he changes the you can't go back and then continue living in the same present that you came from. So anytime you go back in time, you're affecting, you've already started a new, that's the origin point for the new timeline.
So she's already had kids, basically.
When he goes back to dance?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, he goes back, but it's a different timeline at that point. That's what you're saying. But also the rules of time where, hey, you can't, you know, open up a nasty alternative realities, which she pretty much does.
And the timekeepers didn't say anything about it.
Timekeepers.
Or stop
it. But they said actually it was supposed to happen that way. They did acknowledge that in Loki.
Mm.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Meant to be.
So who have you thought? Who's your most annoying Marvel character, CJ?
I don't know. One doesn't particularly stand out to me.
Nothing stands out really?
I can think of annoying instances that happen on a character.
Okay.
Like when Star-Lord took it upon himself to get angry and beat Thanos.
But that was supposed to happen.
With his
with his weapon. According to the timekeepers?
According to Doctor Strange.
That doesn't make it less annoying.
It doesn't make it less annoying, no, but that was supposed to happen. Yeah. That's the other thing that I talked to you guys about. What was the one thing
we had to have a whole nother movie when it could have been stopped right there?
It would have been, yeah, it would have been done. Enough.
We need a 23rd.
Right. Yeah, movie's over. Exactly. We got the gauntlet. Now what? But it couldn't have been that easy.
Yeah.
But although when you're watching it for the first time, you're like, just get the gauntlet off. And you don't think about it after the fact. Okay, well, are we done?
Yeah.
I guess we're good.
How easy do you think it would be to slip that off?
Well, they almost had it.
Fall off, but they were all pulling on it.
Well, Thanos went and grabbed at it.
Super strength.
Yeah. Well, it took all of them to try and get it off of his hand.
Right.
Including him being put under by Mantis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my most annoying character. It's not that I can't stand her, but every time she comes on, it's kind of one of those things where I go, just pass. I don't need to watch this.
This is why you formed the question to get this out? To get this off your chest?
Well, all three of us, and I'm also buying CJ time right now. So he can continue thinking about his most annoying character. Gamora.
Really?
She annoys the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah. She has a tremendous gift of power, being one of the most fierce warrior women in the universe, taught by the Master of Masters. Yeah, he probably didn't treat her well. Well, he didn't treat her well, but, you know. And she's complaining about it. And every scene with her is just complaining and angst. And just, you know, just stop.
You agree?
Yeah. A little bit.
She was dragged into genocide by her father. On a planetary scale, that would be quite dramatic.
It is a drastic life change, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no need to be gloomy about it, for crying out loud. You're on the winning team for the most part. I mean, what are you complaining about? You know?
Oh, we just keep winning.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Isn't that it? It's so annoying. Can't we lose? You're alive,
but complaining.
Yeah. So, okay.
Nebula has it worse than Gamora.
Nebula is a respectable character. I like Nebula because she's had to lose over and over again. That builds character.
And bionic limbs.
Yeah. You know, pulling the brain out of her skull and all that stuff.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I think being a cyborg builds a lot of character.
She's a very complex character, even though a lot of her is made up of machined parts. Imagine your father telling you you're a waste of parts. Your quote-unquote father. Right. Father figure. Right. Are you still thinking about your most annoying character?
Rhodey, maybe?
You think Rhodey's annoying? Really?
That, or maybe it's annoying that they changed the character.
The actor?
The actor.
Well, Terrence Howard... Do you know the backstory on that?
No, I don't think I do.
I had heard that Terrence Howard was just kind of a jerk and a pain to work with on the first Iron Man, mm-hmm. and was upset that he, you know, wasn't making more money than RDJ.
That he demanded more money.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, you just shot yourself in the foot. You just missed out on the biggest movie franchise of all time.
Yeah,
by complaining about money. Yeah. What are you thinking?
You know how much he would have made if he'd stayed?
How much?
Oh, I thought you had an answer. I was like, no. To the dollar, but at least.
The smaller actors who've stayed around, Black Widow started as a cameo in Iron Man 2, and now she has her own feature film.
But, I mean, she was a pretty deep cameo. That was more than a cameo. That was a supporting
actress. A supporting role.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But she went from a supporting role. And
I'll actually qualify my answer. Okay. That character in the beginning when they introduced Black Widow, that was kind of annoying to me because I felt like Hollywood was just taking advantage of the hot starlets at the time. Let's throw her in, see how she does. We'll attract, you know, a bigger male audience because it's Scarlett Johansson. But over time, she proved herself to be she really embodied the role. I don't think any of those guys realized how extensive and how long this would go. Except maybe Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
He probably had the master plan. What do you think?
I don't think he had the master plan.
You don't think so?
No.
He's obviously a huge comic book fan.
I think, but I think he went movie to movie. And then with this each success, he would extend the vision.
Right.
You know?
So but he was playing off that whole Infinity Saga based on the comic books. Because the saga in the comic books is a lot deeper
than
what the movies portray.
But there's no foreshadowing of that in Iron Man.
No.
nor in Hulk, nor in Iron Man 2. Well, Iron Man 2, maybe a little bit.
So you don't think he saw multiple movies ahead of his time? He was like per movie?
I think he was...
There's no whiteboard of...
No, I don't think so.
From Iron Man to Endgame, and this is everything in between.
I think he was concerned with planting the seeds for each character before considering how high each would grow. You know? I think he was concerned about how can I fit each character and give them their own movie and get the Avengers to assemble. And then if that works, we can go.
So his whole impetus was to create Captain America.
Assemble the Avengers.
Yeah. The first six characters, mm-hmm. which those are the original, right?
In the comics? No. Captain America's not.
He really? Really?
He's the first Avenger, but only because he was predates all the Avengers.
But he wasn't part of the group.
He's not in issue one of the Avengers.
Who is?
Loki is the bad guy. We have Ant-Man, the Wasp, Hulk, Thor, and Iron Man. I think that's...
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Really?
Yeah.
They were that early on because they came so much later in the MCU. They were,
but it was Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne. Mm. It wasn't Hope Van Dyne and Scott Lang.
Oh, so because they were coming out of the 50s and 60s at that point.
But no, in the movies, they're older.
Yeah.
But in the comics, they're all contemporaries.
So the introduction...
Hank Pym's the same age as Iron Man and all the other characters.
Really?
Yeah. He's not an old man mentoring the next one.
Yeah, because he was more on Howard Stark's level in the
right,
movies.
Right, no.
Yeah. Interesting.
No. That'd be like if Batman Beyond came out and Bruce Wayne was older raising the next Batman. You know? Hank Pym is Ant-Man and Giant Man and Yellow Jacket and Goliath and all his other identities.
Well, in 2008, Iron Man was the saving grace of Marvel Studios in general. Right?
In 2008?
Yeah. Kind of, right. I'm going off on a tangent. Shiny object moment.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Yeah, Iron Man launched. How much did Iron Man make? Does anyone know? The budget versus the gross?
All I remember is that my buddy, who had been a big comic book guy, came to me and said, look, you know, I'd been friends with this guy for most of my life. And I'd never gotten into the comic books like he had. And he came to visit us one time, first time I'd seen him in years. He said, let's go to a movie. All right, let's go see one. Yeah, we had two, I think we had a new child baby at home. So my wife was pissed at me because I was going to a movie and leaving her home. And we went to go see Iron Man. And I literally said, I mean, that movie about the robot, I had no idea.
You thought he was a robot?
I thought it was a robot. No idea who, you know. And then when they started talking about Tony Stark, and I'm like, oh, that rings familiar. That sounds familiar. I remember kind of reading about or hearing about a Stark character. And yeah, at the end of the movie, I was that was a good movie.
Yeah.
That was fun. Thanks for bringing me. After Endgame, I called him up and I said, hey, thank you for bringing me to that movie. Mm. You provided 12 years of fun.
Heck yes.
You know what I mean? 11 years of fun. Mm. My family really got into it. It was our thing. But after Infinity War, I dove right in.
Yeah.
And started really, I'm a huge fan of complex plot lines. So you guys are really tired, aren't you?
We actually touched on what you just said, though, not the tired part.
Right.
The complex of everything from Marvel. Yeah. And how we were talking about, did the planning happen way beforehand? Or
yeah, it was from Black Widow. It was that line about
the line from Black Widow,
the Russian guy.
Yeah,
because you showed me that scene from the Avengers where Loki is
intimidating interrogated
Black Widow, and he mentions
Dreykov's daughter.
He mentions Dreykov's daughter before, you know, whatever 9 years before Black Widow, film.
Very true.
And CJ was amazed.
Yeah, I was like,
that they had that in store for her before, all the way back in 2012.
Well, here's another mind bender for you. And I know we're going all over the place. We're on Tangent City right here. This is how these things, these conversations kind of flow. But overall, the overarching theme of this conversation is who the most annoying Marvel character we think, each of us thinks is the most annoying Marvel character. You've gotten Gray and my opinion, which is mine is Gamora. Gray thinks that Captain Marvel is the most annoying.
Absolutely.
CJ is still, jury's still out. He's still trying to think of his answer.
Whose movie, if one character who hasn't had a movie was going to have a movie, who would you least want who would be most disappointed they had their own film around just them? Who would least be interested in? No. I'd be fine with that.
I mean,
would you?
Maybe Mantis, only because I feel like her powers are, you know, in Endgame and all the women get together and they're doing their hurrah, their last final run down the battlefield.
The obligatory, here's the girl power moment.
Yeah, exactly. And you see Mantis with the group of them and she's running towards the villains. And
has she ever seen battle?
What is she going to do?
I don't know.
Touch one person at a time and
maybe
make them fall asleep. Like
perhaps,
but maybe that, I don't know. Maybe it's something annoying.
But what we were talking about before, the real mind bender, before I kind of reminded everybody what the overarching theme of our episode is the end of Black Widow, the end credits scene. You remember Black Widow was supposed to come out a year ago, right?
Right.
Right.
So I said, well, they may use COVID to build upon the movie a little bit. Because that post-credit scene, had it come out a year ago, would not have made sense.
They wouldn't have been able to count on everybody having known, been able to recognize
who,
Elaine from Seinfeld.
Right, Elaine from Seinfeld, whose character name, I don't know.
Valentina?
Well, hold on. Keep talking. I'll look it up.
It's Elaine.
It's not. And nothing else but Elaine. No.
I'm waiting. I was talking to CJ about this. I'm waiting for Jerry Kramer and George to appear in the MCU, and we could even cast which characters they could be.
Well, that's the thing, is that the end credit scene wouldn't have made sense if they came out in May or June or July of 2020, because...
Yeah, I was bold.
Yeah. That's direct from Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Right.
The interesting thing is, Elena, is that how you pronounce her name?
Elaine? The character on in the actual MCU?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it.
Well, that's what's confusing, is the blonde Russian Natasha's sister
is Elena. Elena.
But Yelena. Julia Louis-Dreyfus' name is Elaine in Seinfeld, Yelena. So we're Elena and Elaine.
I thought it was interesting. She already knew Val, because when she was there... And she walked up on her to catch her off guard. She was just like,
she wasn't surprised.
You know, you're not supposed to come talk to me on my off time or whatever. So she already knew.
You're seeming desperate. That's what she said. You're seeming
desperate. I thought it was interesting. Is she a bad character or a good character?
Well,
have we not developed that yet?
I think Gray probably knows the answer to that question.
I don't know who Julia Louis-Dreyfus is.
Is it kind of like the Island of Misfit Toys types of characters?
I'm not familiar with the Black Widow. I don't know.
It's kind of like the knockoff brand Avengers in a way. You've got.
The Thunderbolts.
The Thunderbolts?
The Thunderbolts are the Dark Avengers. So there's different series. There's different groups in the comics, and the members are comprised of evil counterparts to each hero.
Are they evil or just kind of more real? Well,
they're sinister.
I can't find a name of this woman. It's a really long name.
So Norman Osborn has hosted the Thunderbolts. The Thunderbolts is the name. And we have Red Hulk for the Hulk. We have Wolverine has a counterpart. It might be Sabretooth, the Venom for Spider-Man. The U.S. Agent is probably going to be Captain America's counterpart if they roll with that. Mm-hmm.
But he helped them out at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. He actually was an ally.
Yes, but Val came up to him at the end. I don't know if it was a post-credits.
She was recruiting him.
And he was wearing the same uniform as Captain America, but it was in black.
And that red. Jankety shield and that he made in his basement.
They call him the U.S. Agent, too.
Yeah. So he's in the comics, then.
The U.S. Agent, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to find out the name of this woman.
That would be funny, though, to cast the Seinfeld cast.
I'm waiting for the Office cast.
As MCU characters.
Okay. Contessa Valentina Allegra de la Fontaine.
That's perfect for her.
Yeah. So I guess her name's going to be Val. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Val.
So I find out who the name is. That's great. So she's going to be kind of like the Nick Fury of the Thunderbolts. Really?
I thought of that like Nick Fury.
You haven't thought of that.
Is she a character? Of her being like Nick Fury.
Is she a character in the comics?
I'm not familiar with Valentina in the comics. Really? She may be. She's not prominent if she is.
You're kind of letting me down here. I thought you were like the professor of comic
books. The professor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comic characters. I'll bring my Marvel encyclopedia next time. So
that's one thing my buddy did say after we talked about Infinity War. He says, I don't know, understand why they went with Thanos. So what do you mean?
Why?
So there's so many other villains they could have gone with. I said, well, that makes sense then. I mean, you know, you start with the lowest of the low, I guess, if he is.
Oh, he's not.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way. At the time, I thought he was.
Minor threat.
He's not a minor threat.
No.
Well, who is? Who's the most minor threat?
Probably the
Loki
in the MCU. Or
well, Loki was working for Thanos.
No, Loki's big too. See, there are Avengers level threats, and then there are individual superhero level threats. The Avengers assemble to take on threats that are too big for individual heroes.
Right.
So,
well, Loki wasn't really a threat to the Avengers. It was the
Chitauri.
The Chitauri that he brought to the city. And then that basically was, he was enabled by Thanos.
Yeah, he went well by the stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mind Stone. So, CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Got a character yet?
You're annoyed by
how can I keep up with the conversation and also think back who's the most annoying?
CJ's holding
back. I don't want to be crucified by this. Don't care for the new Spider-Man, Tom Holland.
Neither might I just be
because I grew up watching Tobey Maguire, and now seeing Tom Holland, I think it was Stan Lee. Didn't he say he's like the epitome of what he figured or thinks Spider-Man should be? Didn't he say that Tom Holland? Yeah, that Tom Holland was like the perfect.
I don't know.
I'm just making a note here. CJ hates Tom Holland.
Listen, I'm with CJ. I'm backing him up on this.
Really?
I've been talking about this for years.
I thought he made a really good Spider-Man.
I think that he's fine in the hands of the Russos.
Right.
But I think that John Watts' direction of him is a complete misunderstanding of the character and world. Or at least an interpretation that's not in line with what Spider-Man means.
Fill me in on which movie was which then. Who did which movie?
Well, John Watts has directed and wrote Spider-Man, the first two, Homecoming and Far From Home.
Okay. I think, but you know what? I think the whole MCU, how it played out and how they introduced Spider-Man to the series, why didn't they go with the second actor, whatever his name was? Andrew Garfield.
I'd prefer him any day.
Really?
Yeah.
But then you had Tobey Maguire from the early millennium. He would probably be too old at this point.
Well, there's comments about him appearing with Andrew Garfield in the next Spider-Man.
And the next one that they're making.
Yeah, there's all kinds. That's been going on.
The multiverse.
So long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that's going to happen?
Well, there's been reports of Tobey Maguire being seen on set.
Really?
Or his name being seen, written his hand, his signature on the script, or toys that feature him, you know, being released early, leaked, or whatever.
Well, if you watch the Into the Spider-Verse, the animated one that Netflix had, I think they still have it. They touch upon like an older Spider-Man character.
Yeah.
You know, from another multiverse type of approach. And then you have the one that's the pig.
Spider-Pig.
And then you have
Peter Porker.
Peter Porker.
The Spectacular Spider-Ham.
And then you have...
His is on series.
I believe it. I've seen it before. I've seen like the
character. He's in the comics too.
Yeah. But then you have the Nicolas Cage character, the dark brooding 1920s-esque.
The Prowler?
Is that him? But he was a Spider-Man character.
Wearing the purple?
I think so.
The Miles' uncle? Uncle Aaron?
No, that was the villain.
It's the Prowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they have
Spider-Man Noir.
I guess.
Voiced by Nicolas Cage.
And then there was another one. He's cool. They had the female version of Spider-Man.
Spider-Gwen.
Right.
I think it's silly.
You think that's silly?
Yeah. This is all the cartoon we're talking about?
Yeah, you've never seen that? Oh, really?
You didn't see the animated film that came out like 3 years ago?
No.
3 years ago?
No.
It came out around that time. It's on Netflix.
It stars Miles Morales.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Miles Morales is the main character. And he becomes Spider-Man. It's the whole origin story, I believe.
Yeah.
Of Spider-Man, but he gets introduced to all the other Spider-Men and women and pigs
from multiverses. Fractured and different Spider-Men pour into his universe. Sure.
Yeah.
And Miles Morales is a phenomenal character in the comics.
Really?
He deserves everything in his own right.
But I mean, that was the first
separate from Peter Parker.
that's outside of the MCU. So how much of the MCU do you think is going to start blending into the, or the other aspects of comic is going to start coming into the MCU? Because getting back to the whole Spider-Man discussion, the reason why I brought him up was it's almost as if they got the licensing rights back over time. Like, you know, Sony relinquished a little bit and let Marvel have integrate Spider-Man into Civil War. That's how we brought him in.
Right.
And then he had a very close relationship with Tony Stark, which was never mentioned in any of the previous movies. We had no idea who Tony Stark was in those movies.
In which movies?
The Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield movies.
Well, those don't have anything to do with that.
With that whole
no.
So the Tony Stark.
Tony Stark in the Tobey Maguire trilogy and the Andrew Garfield movies have nothing to do with, no connection to the new films whatsoever.
Not even in the comics.
Well, I mean, in the comics, Tony is Peter's benefactor and friend. But right.
So there is a relationship with Tony Stark and Spider-Man and Peter Parker in the comics.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But not in those movies that...
The Iron Spider
right.
is a suit that Tony made for Peter.
So that is an actual authentic, genuine throwback to the comics.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so cool.
And it is very cool. But it's in the movies, for someone like me, who's not versed like you, was kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny because they didn't even go, you know, we're not redoing the freaking, you know, origin story of Spider-Man that's been overdone.
I disagree. I think they should have gone back.
But it's already been done. You know, they said, look, yeah, he got bit by a spider. We are going all over the place with topics here.
So go ahead.
But I think that's your comic background. Yeah. But it's so many comics are the same story, different character, repeating it again. And it's just a different writer because he's a different story, different way to tell.
You can't let that go. There's an integral... There's certain aspects of a character that you can't let go of or you lose the character.
So down the road when we're old. All right, kids, let's watch Spider-Man. Well, which one, Grandpa? There's Spider-Man 13 one, two, number three. Ones.
Yeah. Let's see and the by same the way, story.
In the comics, the Iron Spider suit was given by Tony to Peter during the Civil War as a way to recruit Spider-Man. And then Spider-Man turns on Tony and he stops because his identity, when he reveals his public identity, Aunt May is shot. And she's on her deathbed, and Peter has to make a deal with the devil, with Mephisto.
Oh, really?
And work with Doctor Strange in order to reverse him revealing the identity to the world. And so to do that, he has to forfeit his marriage with Mary Jane.
Wow.
And their unborn daughter. So he does all that. That's the consequence to revealing his identity. And in the movies, what happens? Aunt May walks in on him at the very end of that scene, and it's a fun laugh, and that's it.
Yeah,
that was an entire that defined a decade of comics.
Yeah,
I mean that's.
But they haven't touched.
There's no consequences in the movies for Tom Holland's Peter Parker. There's none.
Well, actually, in the last movie, there is.
What? His identity is revealed.
Yeah,
it's going to be played for laughs. It's going to be a joke in the first minute of the next movie.
Think so?
Yeah, I think they're going to laugh about it, and that scene's going to replay. And right after that, there will be a joke, and we'll move on with the story, and it won't have any negative impact.
I'm going to write down here.
No consequences. I'm calling it.
Gray.
And I'm with CJ. That bothers me. I think it betrays the character. Absolutely. He lost his marriage in the comics. And every person on the planet had to have their mind altered by Strange to undo what he did.
What's going to go on with Doctor Strange and...
The Multiverse of Madness.
Wanda. Vision. White Vision now. That's another episode. We're going to have to resolve that. We'll reserve that for episode two.
That'll be directed by Sam Raimi.
Yeah. Taika Waititi and the new movie, The Free Guy with
Ryan Reynolds.
What's his name? Ryan Reynolds.
Deadpool.
Deadpool and Korg appearing in a
feature.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Isn't that weird? Reviewing Free Guy.
Yeah.
Which is essentially.
How cool is that?
Yeah. That'd be a cool little thing. You know, we could talk about future episodes, talking about when the X-Men are going to appear and all that stuff. Where have they been during
Scarlet
the time?
And Quicksilver have already appeared.
What's that?
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver have already appeared.
And Magneto too?
And they're X-Men.
Because they're Magneto's kids.
But not in the films, obviously.
Not in the MCU.
Because in WandaVision, we see her father in the flashback.
Right.
And it's surely
does it
that's
bother you as a, you know, diehard comic book follower and fan, does it bother you that the stories are changed and shifted in these movies?
No.
Or is it fun for you to see how they're playing around with it?
That's the second.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun to see different creators interpret characters in new light. It's their fresh take. That's in the same thing in the comics. The stories that are written about the characters aren't the same now as they were in the 60s at all. Because different creators take them and they mold them in a different shape and then they let them go in their own image.
Yeah.
And then the next guy does the same thing. But if you betray integral parts of the character, that's something else.
Yeah.
You know?
I do.
If you take from them something that defines them, there's a couple things for every character that defines them. And if you take those away.
So Spider-Man, was it from him or mechanical device?
Was it organic or was it a web shooter? Originally, it was a web shooter.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I like the organic part.
Yeah, because that's what goes into Peter Parker being a nerd. He's a scientist and he's brilliant.
So he invented. He
created this device, plays to his character. He didn't just get the power to shoot it from his wrist.
Hmm. Well, that was the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire.
Which, it didn't bother me in the movie.
No?
I love those movies.
See, though. Not knowing that about the comics, when it changed to that, I was like, what the heck? That's so stupid. He had it organic. And it was amazing. It was right there. Endless, right?
Why his wrist?
Now it's not.
Now it's limited. It's
organic. Why should it come out of his wrist?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. It's where it comes out of
it. Shoot out of his mouth.
Belly button.
Like, or his butt.
Or his butt.
Yeah.
Why not? If it's not a web shooter, what does it matter? Why is it his wrist? It doesn't make any sense.
Just so he could throw random gang signs in the middle of the movie.
Shazam! Lie.
So, guys, for our first episode, I think we've exhausted a lot of topics. We've gone down a lot of rabbit holes, a lot of tangents, a lot of shiny moments, squirrel moments. What do you think?
Yeah.
Here, wrap there, it up. Everywhere. On the next episode, I think we'll talk about, I don't know, what did we mention before? I forgot already.
Our idea.
Which one?
We had an idea. The first idea.
What's the first idea?
The one with Thor's hammer.
We're going to tease it.
Which characters outside of the MCU would be worthy to lift Thor's hammer? What are the criteria?
Outside of the complete universe.
Outside.
Like John Wick or somebody like
fiction,
that.
Like Neo from The Matrix.
Give away to me. Don't say too
many names. No. We're going to tease this on episode 2.
I'm going to convince you that Neo from The Matrix
is
absolutely worthy.
Okay. We're gonna hold that. Okay. Keep it under your hat with your bald head.
I'm excited for that.
And we're going to talk about that. We'll have that. That's a good topic. What character outside of the MCU would be worthy to wield Mjolnir? Nice one. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. This is a fun time. It's going to get better. We're going to be more organized. But for a first episode, I think we did fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Heck yeah.
Had guys, fun. Check us out. We've got a website. Did you know that?
A big dot website?
We.
No.
Or Capes and Hammers.
It's capesandhammers.com.
No. We got the name rights to capesandhammers.com.
Capesandhammers.com. We got the name rights.
No.
Because we came up with the name. Capesandhammers.com. Check it out.
What's up?
Follow us on the Facebook page. If you have any other questions you want us to discuss, chime in there and we'll get an ongoing discussion and all that fun stuff. Check us out. Capesandhammers.com. Check us out on the next episode. See ya.